Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Otaku Podcast. My name is Hector, your host, and we are now streaming episode 3 of the podcast. And this was an impromptu recording here because one of my buddies from Florida decided he wanted to be on the show and discuss some more in-depth details about Superman and also the future of DC. We will also be including some expectations and perhaps some ideas that we would like to see coming to fruition with the MCU after a great start with the Thunderbolts in this phase, and Fantastic Four First Steps will be coming out next week on Friday, which I'm sure a lot of us are planning on seeing because it's going to be a banger, hopefully, but we'll see how that goes. And then we'll also take a different turn and talk about Stranger Things Season 5 because the trailer just got dropped yesterday. And boy, oh boy, 3.5 years of waiting for this, so we'll see how it goes. Well, let's go ahead and get started here. You want to introduce yourself, buddy?
What's up, everybody? I'm Quambert. Gonna have a good old little conversation. I'm ready.
All right. So as we kind of talked about before, you know, in the first 2 episodes, I talked about Superman. The first episode was spoiler-free. Second episode, we had a few more spoilers, but also a more in-depth review of the movie about why I thought James Gunn hit it out of the park with the casting and also the development of each character. So you and I talked about it a couple of times through messaging. Do you want to relate some of the stuff about how you felt about the movie?
Honestly, the movie wasn't perfect, but I think it was exactly what we needed. And the feeling it gave me was all I really have to say is what made the movie just stand out for me. It just made me feel like, gave me hope. Like, I walked out of that theater with a lot of hope and, like, I don't know, I was just real joyful. And I really liked all the castings, especially David. And I think Nicholas, forgot his last name, Holt, was a great Lex Luthor. And I really got Smallville vibes from the whole, it seemed like a Smallville, like, sequel. And I really liked that about it. And all the castings were really good. Guy Gardner was great. He was probably one of my favorite parts about the movie. Mr. Terrific as well. So everything about the movie is pretty good. Maybe it felt a little rushed at some points, but all in good ways. Like, it was a good movie.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Smallville. So, like, the vibes I got were both for Smallville about how Clark Kent became Superman. So with this version of Superman, I believe he was 3 years in as Superman already.
Yes.
He was about 30 years old, 33 years old.
Something like that.
So I got those vibes for sure. The other vibe that I got from it, you ever seen Superman and Lois by chance?
I actually have, and I really like that show. I did get those vibes too.
I definitely got those silly. Yeah, for sure. So I think the audio is cutting each other off because I can hear like a slight delay on your end. So I'm going to have to go with the punches here. Just listen closely until I'm done talking and then give you time to speak. So I'm not cutting you off. I'm not rude. I promise.
No, I didn't think you were. I could tell I saw that there's a little bit of delay. So I was trying to like just go with it.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Yeah, dude. So like I said before, awesome movie overall. Without the silly moments, it would have been a 10 out of 10 for me, but it's a James Gunn's film, so we always should expect those silly moments nonetheless.
Yeah.
So how do you think this Superman movie will establish the other DC films that will connect to it?
Well, so far already, it established... And it's getting us ready for the next film, which is Supergirl. That's the next DCU film coming out. It's already given us that, and it showed us. And it set up the fact that metahumans have been around and superheroes have been around for... It said that the first metahuman was, 3 centuries ago? So 300 years, and it seems like everything's kind of already... I mean, they're just throwing us in, so a lot of characters are already established. I mean, we saw Jay Garrick in the mural at the Hall of Justice, so that means Flash is already established and stuff like that. So I honestly think that they're doing it right the way that they kind of just threw us in. It does feel like a big old live-action animated universe, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, most definitely. It really did feel like a cartoon DC movie coming to life, and that's what I also enjoyed about it. I think honestly, that's probably what James Gunn was no pun intended, but that's probably what he was gunning for, you know? And so it worked out. It worked out in this situation. It was nice. I really enjoyed it, too, in that respect. And you mentioned Supergirl. So what are your theories or expectations for Supergirl?
Well, my theories are it's Superman. It's Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. So I think they're basing it off of that comic book, Woman of Tomorrow, with Lobo and everything. And I think we're probably going to see some setup for maybe it'll show us what the next movie is, or it'll set up like a villain, maybe like Vandal Savage or something like that. Maybe a little dark side tease. I mean, maybe that's rushing things along. Mm-hmm. But I know we're going to see Lobo, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. And I think the movie's going to be real fun in a different kind of aspect than Superman was. It's going to be kind of raunchy and very like teen. But I'm pretty excited for Supergirl.
Didn't they cast Jason Momoa as Lobo?
They did, yeah, which was pretty cool because that's what he wanted. That's his like dream role. And honestly, he fits the character very well. So I think it's a good casting.
Oh, bro, I think he's a better depiction of Lobo than he was for Aquaman, in my opinion. So
absolutely.
I think that casting was well done for him as Lobo.
Absolutely, yeah. I honestly like the Aquaman movies, but I don't really think that he looks or kind of embodies the character. But it's our guy.
Yeah, we'll definitely give that one a pass. So I think Supergirl will have the same environment, the same colorful, you know, atmosphere as we saw for Superman. What do you think?
I think it'll low-key be a little bit more serious. Firstly, because of the story that they're going with, and also it's not James Gunn directing it, so I definitely think there's going to be a little bit of a different tone. But color wise I think it's going to be similar. I think the movie's going to be set more out in space. It's definitely going to be a space movie. If it's not, I'd be surprised. We're probably going to see other planets and like go to different planets and stuff like that. So I think it's going to be a bit of like an adventure movie, something of that sort. But I do think it's going to have a little bit of a different tone than Superman. Not the exact same, but still pretty fun loving.
And that's a valid point that you brought up, because before we started recording this, I quoted something from James Gunn. And he was talking about Clayface, which we'll dive into a bit in just a few. But he said here, regarding the style of the movies, there's not a company style. It's not like every movie is going to be like Superman. As we know, it was colorful, it was cheerful, it was positive and corny stuff here and there. But the artists and the directors and the writers that create each one will bring their own sense to it. We don't want people being bored. And hearing that in an interview, when I was able to get the quote online, you know, it made me have a newfound appreciation for James Gunn and how much he cares for these characters that pretty much he's overseeing. He gives the green lights, and he, you know, whatever comes out, it's all through James Gunn's approval. So he's ready to take the heat as needed, but he's also able to take the praise when it's warranted.
Yeah, very much so. I really like what they're going for, and I really like that it's not like Marvel, because I feel like the past couple Marvel movies, and honestly, all of the Marvel movies have that same kind of tone, that same kind of way that they film the movies, etc., the same kind of like plot points, and it's all very, very similar. And as we can all know, Marvel has gotten a little boring, and it's kind of ramping up now that they're fixing it. But I will say Marvel has gotten a little boring, so I like that the direction they're going in, and DC will forever be better than Marvel, in my opinion. And now that James Gunn is filming the movies, I really think we're going to see a new wave of DC over Marvel in the movies, because that's really all that DC was lacking in was movies, and I think we're going to see a change in that. It's very exciting.
And that's an important thing that you brought out there, because, you know, I've never gone to the movie theater and say, with the exception of the Dark Knight trilogy, of course, I never got in to see a DC movie and say, dang, that was an actually pretty good movie. Like, I'll be down to see it a second or third time. I think the only movie that given me that recently was The Batman that came out in 2002 with Matt Reeves directing it. And which, speaking of that, they finished the script finally, so we'll still have to wait 2 more years to see the film. But, I mean, at least there's some anticipation now of how well the movie did the first time. And, you know, this is going to go into deeper stuff. Clayface might be involved in it. I don't know if that will be connected with Batman's universe or the main DC universe. I'm not sure what Gunn's plan is for that one there. But the Court of Owls is rumored to be a main focus on Batman 2, or even Mr. Freeze. Are these characters that you probably want to see reestablished or, you know, grounded in future films?
I think that in the Matt Reeves universe, I think Mr. Freeze would be good for Batman 2. And maybe I think you could do the Court of Owls and Mr. Freeze in one movie, especially because of the way the last movie left off with the flood. I definitely think that you can get those both going on and have it work. I'm very happy that they finished the script, and I'm perfectly fine waiting for another amazing movie like it was the first time. So I don't mind that at all. And I think that Clayface is in the DCU. That's not part of Matt Reeves' universe. And I'm hoping that we get a little Batman in there. Maybe Batman as an antagonist, because criminals see him as like a scary person, you know, like kind of like they're scared of Batman. So if we had it from the point of view of Clayface and Batman was kind of the villain of the movie, I mean, he's not a villain, but just in that retrospect of, oh, Batman's scary. And yeah, I think that might be what they do. I think it'd be really cool.
Oh, I totally agree with that. You know, there's you think about Batman as a character. He is a pretty scary character. He could easily portray a villain if they were to go that route. Like, it's just his persona, the way he presents himself, and maybe the unorthodox ways of him handling things. So, I agree with that though. I would like to see Batman come in, and we're rooting against him. When we're watching Clayface or something like that.
I saw that James Gunn I saw that James Gunn said that Batman's live action appearance might not be till The Brave and the Bold. So there's a chance we don't see him in Clayface, which would be a little disappointing. But it'd be okay.
Yeah, so you know, I'm sure you've seen all the hate comments online, TikTok, or whatever social media account that you use. With so much hate for this current Superman, and I'm not going to go into this again because I spent two episodes going on 30-minute rants against these Snyder fans. Like, I don't need to do that again. But like, we've seen too many comparisons with each Superman, and all of them, for the most part, were portrayed in its own unique way. Obviously, Christopher Reeve will always hold the title as the best Superman because he laid the groundwork for the actors that followed him. And Smallville was, you know, excellently portrayed as a young dude who's Clark Kent, and he's learning the ropes of being a superhero. He's learning about his identity, things like that. And then Tyler Hoechlin, who plays Superman and Superman and Lois, you know, he was a perfect TV Superman. And, you know, he was also nerdy, but man, when he was serious, I did not want to face that guy in the parking lot because we saw how he took care of some people that needed to be taken care of. Like, I don't want to mess with him. But then you look at David Cornsweet, who's a well-balanced character. You know, he has everything that's needed to be Superman, you know, emotional, but also when it comes down to being serious and taking care of business, he'll make sure. I mean, he mollywopped that chick throughout the whole movie in the third final act of the film in the football stadium, wherever, baseball stadium, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, bro, equal rights. He didn't care who you were. He took care of business.
No, he did not. And speaking of that baseball scene, when the engineer was like doing the techno trying to suffocate him, I got real Spider-Man 3 vibes. Like when the symbiote was taking over Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, I got real Spider-Man vibes from that.
You know, it's funny how you mentioned that because I was telling a buddy of mine who was wondering about whether he should see the movie or not. I'm a little older than you, as you know, but like I grew up watching Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, watched the whole trilogy. That was probably the first hero that I got introduced to. So obviously that trilogy is always going to have a special place in my heart. But you really mentioned something that brought back something I told my buddy. You know, seeing that Superman film brought me back to 2007 when I first walked into the theater with my mom and dad to see Spider-Man 3 and the excitement that I felt leaving the theater after seeing that film. Like, dude, it was so much nostalgia going on. I felt so good. I felt like a kid again watching that movie.
Yeah, I know. Watching Superman, I walked out of there feeling like I was like 12 years old again. And it was great. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about Superman, Supergirl, and Clayface. One thing that we talked about before this episode recording here was lanterns. Now, yes. What are your thoughts of lanterns, you know, as far as what's been released so far, what we can look forward to, and things like that?
So what I've seen from it so far is that it may be like, I don't know if you watched the show True Detective, but I feel like it's going to be something like that. And maybe each season focuses on a different, like, lantern. So maybe season two, we get, like, Kyle Rayner or something like that. I am starting to be more okay with the fact that Hal Jordan is old. At first, I was kind of upset about it because I really like the relationships that Hal has with, like, Green Arrow and Barry and stuff like that. But I'm thinking that maybe they could do Parallax. And I think that'd be really cool. Mm-hmm. And I like the actor they picked for old Hal, but I would like to see young Hal, maybe in a flashback movie or something like that. But I hope that lanterns isn't too grounded. I hope that there's still some space elements, and I hope we get to see some Green Lantern fights with the full suits on and whatnot. You know, Green Lantern is goated, and we've gotten no representation of him in live action besides that really bad 2011-2012 movie with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that one. We can move on with that one there.
Yeah.
No, but it was cool seeing a modern day lantern showcase in a film because, you know, you think about Guy Gardner and, you know, I'm a big Nathan Filoni fan. I mean, he's an excellent actor. I watch him in The Rookie, which is on the ABC network. It's a good show about him being a cop and things like that. I watched some other stuff with Nathan Filoni, and he could portray a very arrogant and just a freaking annoying SOB in a good way. And we saw that throughout the film. And, you know, that gosh darn forsaken bow cut that he had, he just wanted to smack off his head. Like, he was able to wear that so well and do so good with that role.
He did, yeah. And he's played Green Lantern a couple times in, like, animated stuff. So he's used to the role, which is really exciting. He got back into it. But I really liked him as Guy Gardner. Hal is, like, my favorite Green Lantern, so I really just want to see some good representation. And I'd love to see Kyle Rayner in live action. I think that'd be awesome. But I think Parallax would be a good way to end season one of Lanterns. Or maybe later down the line, if we get a Green Lantern movie, do Parallax. And maybe Hal dies and comes back younger. Something of that sort. But I'd like to see prime Hal Jordan. Yeah, I really do.
Oh, that would be so cool. By chance, did you ever watch the Penguin series?
I did, yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that one?
I really liked it. It gave me real Sopranos vibes. Sopranos, whatever it's called. I did like it. It's a good way to put us more into the Matt Reeves universe. It just goes to show how kind of grounded the Matt Reeves universe is. You'd think that maybe we would have got like a little Batman, but it's okay. I don't mind it. But it was pretty good. I liked it. It was like, I think it was 8 episodes. The actor did really good as Penguin. Like, really good. I really like the direction they went with him. And I hope we see him again more in, like, Batman 2. Maybe even if it's just for a second or two, we see Penguin at, like, the Ice Club or something like that? I forgot what it's called.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. And, you know, so that actor that plays the Penguin is Colin Farrell. He's always been in movies, and he's always done well with the roles that he has. One thing that I appreciated, too, was the makeup used for him. You know, we gotten so accustomed to CGI in the films, but what I really like the new way that DC, in my opinion, is leading the way with superhero movies is they're focusing more on the animatronics and also makeup. Like, the Penguin, that was all makeup. I mean, there was no CGI and how they changed Colin Farrell to look like that version of Penguin.
Oh, and on that point, that makes me talk about back to Superman real quick. Metamorpho. That was like all practical. And he looked great. Like great. And I loved Metamorpho in the movie. It was like, and the way that like the textures looked and everything, and the fact that it was pretty, it was mostly practicals. I really like to see that we're going back into practical effects. Same with the Superman robots. That was practical too. They built the robots. Like that just made it, it's real nice. Yeah, I'm glad we're getting back into practical rather than CGI.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree. And I just imagine what they're going to do to Clayface, you know, because Clayface is slated to be a horror film. Mm-hmm. And just imagine how scary he's going to be. Oh my goodness. I can't wait to see that.
I'm very excited. Clayface, the fact that he's getting a solo movie is very exciting because he's a kind of a character that not a lot of people are well, like educated on. And I really think that Clayface is a cool character. Mm-hmm. They've kind of turned him into a hero in recent comics. Maybe they're doing that too. And the DCU, who knows? But it's definitely going to be cool to see like a villain movie.
Yeah, absolutely. So good things to come for DC. And the next thing that we can look forward to that's probably closer than all the films is Fantastic Four First Steps. Takes place pretty much in connection with Thunderbolts. As mentioned, Fantastic Four First Steps will be out next week on Friday. So what is it? That will be the 25th. I don't even know. I don't even know my math. Tomorrow's the 18th, so 7 days. Yeah, it's the 25th. So it'll be out on July 25th worldwide. What are things that you're looking forward to in that one? Or is there any high expectations, mid expectations, low expectations that you have for it?
I'm kind of going in there with low expectations just because I kind of go in every Marvel movie with low expectations now with the past couple since Endgame, to be honest. I'm excited to see Galactus and what they do with him, and I'm excited to see how this connects to Avengers Doomsday, and I really want to see how it connects to the Thunderbolts post-credit scene. And I want to know if Doom's in this movie and if it's the same Doom that's going to be in Avengers Doomsday and Secret Wars. I'm excited to see Franklin because he's a big part of Secret Wars, at least the John Hickman run in 2015, which is, seems like they're basing the Secret Wars movie off of. So I'm very excited to see Franklin and see what they do with him, if they do like a time skip and make him older at the end of the movie or what. But it's definitely very exciting. And at first I was a little iffy about the girl Silver Surfer, but now that I'm cool with it, it's an actual character in the comics, so they're just going a different route. And I mean, I think it's cool. I think the CGI looks really good on her, and I do feel like maybe they're showing a little bit too much in the trailers recently, but it's okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. So how do you feel about the casting of each character that portrays a Fantastic Four?
I think that the Ben Grimm casting is very good. I think that I think Pedro is going to do a good job. I will say I could think of some better actors that I would have liked to see in the role, but I think that he's going to do great. I think Vanessa Kirby is great. And Joseph Quinn looks like he's going to do good. I will say it kind of sounds, I don't know if he's necessarily like hot enough to be Johnny Storm. I feel like that's a big part of his character. But I think so far from what I've seen in the trailer, he seems like he embodies it pretty well. But Johnny and Mr. Fantastic are like the two I'm kind of worried about. But I think they'll do a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty fair. I feel the same. It's funny because when I first saw the poster for the film, I was like, I don't know about this, man. But then when I saw the first trailer, I'm like, okay, they could probably work with something like this. And then I saw the second trailer, I was like, oh yeah, this is definitely going to work. But I will jump on what you said, though. I feel like they did release way too much in the trailer. I think Galactus, in my opinion, this is he probably should have been kept a secret until the movie actually came out.
Yeah, low-key, but at the same time, they had to build hype. And with Superman and all the like Jurassic World, I totally understand why they're like pushing this movie. Because they don't want to lose out to DC. I totally get that. I don't think that I think that Franklin should have been kept more a secret than Galactus, to be honest. And I also think that they, like, recently they're showing a lot of scenes to where, like, it's kind of revealing what's going to happen. And I don't really like, to the point where I'm not watching any trailers because I don't want to be spoiled. Because Marvel trailers just spoil the whole movie now. And it's kind of, I don't know, just going in there kind of blind. But I really want to see.
That's a fair take.
Yeah, I want to. I don't know if Galactus is going to follow them to wherever they're going. I don't know who's in the post-credit scene of Thunderbolts. At first, I thought it was the Fantastic Four, and now I'm thinking it might be Franklin or Doctor Doom. And I think the Fantastic Four is going to the X-Men universe, the Fox universe. But who knows? Who knows?
So how do you think they're going to transition then? You know, you have Galactus, who's, at least according to the trailer, he's portrayed as the big baddie in the film. Like, how do you transition from Galactus to Doctor Doom?
So I have a theory that maybe they've been the Fantastic Four for a while now, it seems. So I'm thinking that they have Doctor Doom in custody and, like, in prison or something in the Baxter Building. And when everything's going down and they're being attacked, he gets released. And it looked like in the beginning of the movie, Reed was building, like, multiverse portals. So maybe we'll get a council of Reeds. It kind of seems like that what was going on just a little bit. So I'm thinking they do that and they see that they're going to lose. Their world is going to be destroyed by Galactus. And that the Galactus came for Franklin. So I think that they're going to, like, okay, well, maybe if we just try to escape with Franklin, he'll follow. And then I think Galactus is going to, like, follow them to a different universe. And Doctor Doom is going to, like, escape and then also go through the universe. And I think he's going to end up in the MCU. And then I think that's who's in the Thunderbolts I think it's Doom. And I think he's going to get here, and it's going to be a Tony Stark variant. I think he's going to take over Stark Industries. And I don't know if you've read the comic where Doctor Doom, like, kind of becomes Iron Man a little bit. But I think they're going to do something like that, to where he has, like, he builds his own, like, kind of Doctor Doom Iron Man type suit and then starts playing. And then I think during Avengers Doomsday, he's just going to be setting up for Secret Wars in the background. I think it's just good. They're like, there's going to be an incursion. The Fox universe and the MCU are going to be fighting, and in the background we're just going to see Doom getting ready to prepare for Secret Wars. And yeah,
that's a very interesting take. You know, that's well thought out. I really appreciate that. I'm kind of fighting and battling and in defense about Robert Downey Jr. being casted as Doctor Doom. What are your thoughts on that?
At first, I was kind of like, yeah, why? Why? But I think that it's definitely going to be, like, a certain plot point. Because when you look at it, Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr. is the face of the MCU. And everybody from the MCU, like this... I guess it would be the 616 universe in the Marvel and, like, the MCU movie universe. But the main Earth, Tony Stark is a big deal. And I think that that's going to be why they kind of cast, so that there's just an emotional plot to you, like, you look like Tony Stark. Why do you look like Tony Stark? And I think that's going to be a big part of it. Or we get totally thrown off and he's not the real Doom. And then the real Doom, like, kills him or something. And then we get the real Doom. That could be what happens too. We could get, like, a Council of Dooms or something like that. Maybe we see Doom take out the Council of Kang. And that's why we don't have Kang in the movie anymore. Because originally these movies were going to be... Kang was going to be the villain, not Doom. So who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
That was something... I'm still a little sad about that. But it's okay. I was excited for Kang Dynasty.
Yeah. Me too, dude. And I can't even think about the actor's name right now. I just had his name on the tip of my tongue.
I don't remember.
Anyways,
it looks like. Sorry to interrupt. It looks like Mortal Kombat 2 trailer just came out. I guess so. You watched the first one?
I have not actually.
It's not that good, so
but yeah,
you're not
missing
much.
Yeah. Yeah, I seen a clip on TikTok, and I've never, even with the video games, I've never been into Mortal Kombat. It's just me, you know. The only fighting games I really like is Injustice 1 and 2, and also Super Smash Bros. I mean, that's all I play for fighting games. Like, anything after that. Oh, maybe Marvel vs. Capcom 2 if I'm at, like, a diner or something, or arcade. But that's about it for me with fighting games.
I did see that Injustice 3 might be in development. I think I saw that somewhere. I don't know if it's true or not, but if it is, got me hyped a little bit.
Oh, dude, that would be amazing, because maybe Injustice 2 story was probably one of my favorite stories, and I'll compare it to many comic book video games.
Yeah, Injustice, the storylines for Injustice are great, and I don't know if you've read the comics for it. There's, like, whole comic series, and it's really, it just expands on the games and whatnot. But, yeah, Injustice is a great as a whole, but I feel like it's kind of what started the mess up of Superman being evil. Injustice started it, and from there it was just like Superman's image just kind of got brought down. And then Man of Steel didn't help. No, if I love Henry Cavill, and he played a good Superman, but it was just, it wasn't the kind of Superman that I think we needed to see. It was a very dark, no shame to Zack Snyder, but that whole universe is kind of dark. And speaking on that, Peacemaker season 2, it says that they're gonna do, it looks like there's some multiverse elements. I'm thinking that the Peacemaker from the DCU is going to kill the Peacemaker, and that DCU would take over his life is kind of what it seems like is going to happen, which I think is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that will be interesting to see. Yeah, so that's a lot of valid takes, man. I really appreciate those takes. You know, I could tell you really are a fan of comic books. I mean, just the few conversations that we shared and were playing online, you know, talking about it here and there, I'm like, oh yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about. So I appreciate it, especially compared to many of the haters online who don't know what the heck they're talking about regarding their hate for certain movies that you and I enjoy, because we actually know why these characters are portrayed a certain way and why a storyline must move forward this way. So yeah, man, I appreciate that about you.
Hashtag super.
Yeah. Those little monkeys, man, I'm telling you.
That was Zack Snyder fans. They, James Gunn gave them a cameo in the movie, and I think that's super funny. I thought it was really funny. Yeah. That scene was really funny.
I said the same thing on episode 2. I actually mentioned it multiple times, so whether I get canceled after that episode or not, we'll see how it goes, because the way I said it was kind of sketchy, but we'll see how it goes. I'm still standing so far, so I think I'm doing okay.
I think you'll be fine. It's just a couple people that, I don't know what it is with people in Zack Snyder in those movies. They weren't that good, especially Justice League. They really weren't good.
Oh, Lord.
Man of Steel was like, I think that it would have been a lot better if they gave us Superman, and then they gave us a Batman film, and then gave us Batman v Superman, but they just threw us into Batman v Superman, and then threw Wonder Woman in there, and then killed Superman, and then gave us straight to a Justice League movie. And I was just like, what is going on? It was kind of just bad execution.
And you think of the most infamous thing probably in the whole movie, when, you know, Batman and Superman are fighting to the death, and then one says Martha.
I know.
Why'd you say that name?
No, I know. I was just talking about that with one of my friends. I was like, Batman v Superman is not a bad movie, but that scene really just messes with me. Because it's like, I get it, but why is that why you stop fighting? It's just a little, it's just a little, but it's okay. I really like Ben Affleck as Batman, and I think that it could have been very well done, but they just, and then the Flash movie screwed up even more. I just want a good Flash movie, bro. Like, genuinely.
Yeah. If they could have made a Flash movie based on the CW's Flash. Now, CW's Flash was peak between seasons 1 and 3. Like, anything after that, it went downhill, and it went further downhill down to the final season, which I probably didn't even watch seasons, seasons 5 through 9, because of how 4 was ending. But, like, if they would have got Grant Gustin, you know, to play a Flash between seasons 1 and 3 in a movie, Dude, that would have been such an excellent Flash movie, in my opinion.
It would have. And Ezra Miller was in season 9 of, or one of the seasons of the Flash TV show. Ezra Miller was in it. Yeah, Crisis on Infinite Earths, when they did the crossover. And that's when he got the Flash name. He got it from Grant Gustin Flash. But I have seen that there's, Grant Gustin might be the Flash in the DCU. They might cast him as that. And honestly, speaking of Flash, that's probably my favorite character. And I really hope that Wally West is the main Flash and not Barry. I want to have like an old retired Barry or a dead Barry, and Wally's the Flash. I think that'd be awesome. I think that's ready. I'm seeing like the vibe for this universe is legacy. And I think that Wally is such a good character, and they can do so much with him. And you can bring Barry back, but I think it's time to just pass the torch on and give it to Wally and the like live action universe. And then it'll really just feel like Justice League Unlimited live action, really. And I hope that we get a Flash movie, like really bad, because I love the Flash. And I, after the last one, it made me so upset.
Yeah, I feel that. So we're now at the 36 and a half minute mark. This is probably like around a time where we'll start making concluding remarks, but we got one more thing to discuss before we do that. That's gotcha. Stranger Things season 5. As I mentioned, the trailer just dropped yesterday. You just saw the trailer before recording. What the heck, man? What's going on here?
Honestly, I feel like I'm going to have to rewatch season 4, but I'm very excited. And it looks like, I mean, this is the last season. I think we're going to see some great plot points. I think we're going to see some people die. You know, I think that we're going to see some close off to some stories. I think, what's his name? Either Steve or Nancy's boyfriend. I think they're going to die. One of the two. Steve or Nancy's boyfriend. One of them is going to die. And I'm really excited just for the whole Vecna invading the like actual world, that plot point. Very exciting. I'm excited to see maybe Elle's powers get a little bit more advanced. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. I do agree. I do think that Steve will die in season 5 as well. It probably will be in the second to last episode. But I also think, and this is what I feel, a lot of people feel the same about this, which, good. I think Will is also going to die, but it might be in the final season, or final episode of the season.
I could see that happening, yeah. I could see him sacrificing himself or something like that to stop Vecna. Because really, I mean, if we go back to it, Will was the start of it all. So I think that I think we should go back and end it with Will. It started with Will, it's ended with Will. Maybe Will takes out Vecna, or maybe like super crazy somehow gets powers and then fights Vecna. I know that's so out there, but who knows?
You never know, because I mean, he has the fact that Vecna is in him to an extent. I forgot what the thing was called in season 3, the monster thing, but it's inside him still. So he very well could have those powers. That's not an off-the-wall theory you have.
No, and he has visions and like stuff like that, and he feels things. Like he has like a spider sense of sorts when it comes to the upside down. So I definitely think he could have powers.
Yeah. The only thing that I don't like is they're breaking it up to 3 dates, which, you know, you had us wait 3 years and some change to have 3 release dates. I mean, I get it. It builds anticipation. It builds the hype, especially if they're leaving off like the final episode before the next release date on a good cliffhanger. But man, like with the first 4 seasons, like my buddy, shout out to Dylan, like we would binge watch the whole entire season all night. Like that was like our Friday night thing when every season came out, was watching the whole season. But now we got to have 3 all-nighters for this last season here, which sucks, but I mean, it is what it is.
I mean, if they do it right, if the episodes are as long as you say they're going to be, I think it'll be okay. It's basically going to be like, you could spread it out to where you watch a movie a night. Because if it is over 2 hours, that's a movie. I mean, that's longer than some movies that go into theaters. So it could definitely, like, I can see where I'm okay with it. The last season was like that too, where we had to wait like multiple days to get the full season. So I don't mind it too bad. And if anything, it gets us so that people don't just rush through it. And we really just get to enjoy it a little bit more, since this is the last season, so we should really just try to enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, what do you think is going to be happening to Max. Is she dead? Is she alive? Like, what's her state? How do you feel about
that? I think she's alive. I think she's going to be alive. Maybe she's still blind or whatever. Because that's how it ended, right? She said she couldn't see or something like that. So maybe she's still blind.
Yeah.
Maybe she turns into like an oracle type shit and gets visions or helps the gang that way. I mean, who knows? I don't really know too much about what's going to happen with her. I don't think she's dead because I think I saw her in the trailer. But I definitely think that she's going to be somewhat important. Maybe Lucas dies, or maybe she does die and then Lucas like freaks out or something. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. That'll be something. So with Stranger Things Season 5, Volume 1 drops November 26th, Volume 2, December 25th, and then the finale, the final episode, which is rumored, according to a supposed leak that I saw with the runtime, will be 3 hours long, which is a lengthy movie. That is the Batman 2022 lengthy film-like runtime. That will drop New Year's Eve, which is December 31st, so... it looks like November 26th, I would imagine that's probably Thanksgiving or something like that. And then Christmas like Day, and then New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too far apart. It's only like a month between the first part and the second part, and then only a couple episodes till the finale from the second part. So it's not too long of a wait.
And it's pretty cool because, as many of y'all know, I work for the school district, so I'll be off of work those days anyways. I'll be on break getting paid while enjoying my binge watching, so I'm looking forward to that.
No, that's fair. I don't know about me. I don't know where I'll be doing, but I'll definitely make time for it.
For sure. Well, man, it was nice talking to you and just sharing, you know, our feelings towards DC MCU and a little bit of Stranger Things. We definitely got to run this back again in the future.
For sure. It was nice talking to you as well, man. Nice talking to the people. Yeah.
Yes, sir. So I'm going to go ahead and get you muted real quick. I'll make my concluding remarks, and then we could talk a little after the air. Well, guys, thank you again for joining us in the podcast. This was a bit different because it was impromptu. So, you know, it was just having a nice guest who knows his stuff and bouncing off ideas here and there. And as I said, awesome conversation, you know. With every episode of these podcasts, as I mentioned in the description in episode 1, it's like you're sitting on a table with your boys and just discussing nerdy stuff, you know, and it's an awesome conversation. There's no drama, you know, and we all have different takes at the end of the day, but that's what makes us come together and we enjoy each other's company is because we all have our theories and we all want to see what we want to see, but even if it doesn't happen, it can still be good nonetheless. So thank you all for joining us here on the Otaku Podcast. My name is Hector. Hope you all have a good rest of your day.